With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Feels good to be live in the studio back here in Austin. We've been doing our Formula One shows in the morning, rebroadcasting those on Sunday evening. Feels good. This is John Massengill, and I have the boys on the line. I've got Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. How are you, gentlemen?
Howdy.
Better than I should be.
Well, I guess that's good to say that with everybody still locked down. I know you two boys are at the house right now, and it feels good to be in the studio all by myself. But it feels good either way. But hey, guys, we have a great show tonight. I want to run down what we've got. We've been listening to the news about Austin, Texas in all kinds of different ways, and some of it good, but not so good. The fact that the Formula One race has been canceled, and Bobby Epstein is going to join us later in the show. The chairman of the Circuit of the Americas is going to join us and talk about that and everything else that's not going on at Circuit of the Americas. It's a sad state of affairs, but yeah, Bobby's going to join us here in a few minutes. But we also have a young driver who's about to join us, Linus Lundquist, who's leading the championship in the Formula Regional Americas, the F3 series.
He's not leading it, he's killing it.
he owns it. He's owning it, baby. So he's going to be with us here shortly. As you know, we love to have young drivers on and watch them blossom throughout their career. So exciting to have him. And we're going to talk some MotoGP, because there's been two races in MotoGP already, and Marc Marquez hasn't scored a point. So, he had a big crash and had an injury, and he almost made it anyway, which would have just about been astounding. The fact that he was practicing on Friday, right, guys? Isn't that right, Marquez?
Yep, he did all the way up to qualifying one. And then he broke his humerus, his right humerus, which is, you know, like your just below your elbow or around your elbow. And it was doing fine until it swelled right up during qualifying one. And he just pulled in and said, that's it. Can't do anymore. So.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more about MotoGP, but we're also going to talk about the Formula One season, because Formula One has announced three new races. We're going to talk about that. And one thing, since we're back on the air here in Austin, is that Tesla announced this week they have chosen Austin for their new Gigafactory that's going to build the new crazy-looking Cybertruck, amongst others. I think they're going to build the Model 3 SUV. What's that one called, Les?
The X.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. That was the bit of the story I didn't know. I knew Elon Musk was coming to Austin, but are you telling me he's building a truck?
Yeah.
Would you build a truck anywhere but Texas?
I was about to say, what a great story.
Where have you been under a rock? There, you know, you haven't seen this truck. It doesn't look like a truck. It looks like a spaceship. I mean, it's got, I mean, you think.
He's in that business too. On wheels.
He's in that business too.
Well, yeah, he is. Exactly. And it's supposedly going to have bulletproof glass, although it's not really. What was that thing they threw at it during the announcement, Les, where they smashed the window out like a little?
Well, okay, so the story, as I understand about that, is the demo that they had on stage that day for the reveal only had that specialty glass in the driver's front window.
That's
not the window he hit.
Yeah, so they picked up a big metal ball, like size of a tennis ball, and they threw it at the glass, and it smashed it. But so.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. I'm sorry. I did see that. That was funny.
Yes, that was.
It's bulletproof. Smash.
It's not tennis ball, metal ball proof. But anyway, So yeah, that is being built. In fact, they've already broken ground out there. It's right out there, actually just north of COTA, not far from COTA at all.
It's potentially going to give 5,000 jobs.
Yep, 5,000 jobs. And
he's got a good test track.
yeah. It's $1 billion.
In all seriousness, that is something we might talk to Bobby about, because, you know, that really could be something that they could sort of take, you know, like during the winter, they may take some 30 days or something doing testing with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's one thing. So in California, closer to their current factories, they actually just take the cars out on the road. They do a lot of dyno work, as I understand it, things like that. But once it gets rolling and everything, they just use the manufacturer's privilege to take it out on the road and drive it. And so as much as we think COTA is a draw, it may not actually be in this situation.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring on our young driver guest because he is connected. And Jonathan, I want you to introduce him because you have known Mr. Lundquist a little bit longer than I have.
Well, yeah. And we spoke to him in April, and he was just coming to America. And I jokingly said, the Swedish invasion continues. But I wasn't far off wrong, because Rosenquist is now winning. Marcus Ericsson's not looking too shabby. And Linus Lundquist, if I'm right in saying, has won every race he's competed in so far here in America. So besides Scott Dixon and Rosenquist, he's probably the most successful single-seater racing driver in America right now. How about that for an intro?
Awesome. Well, Linus Lundquist, welcome to Speed City, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, everyone.
Oh, welcome back.
Man.
I just love that he's continuing the charge.
Yeah, like you guys say, I mean, it's been an incredible start to the season, winning so far every race of the season with 5 wins, and every pole position, and it was the last race we had at Virginia. I had a really good fight with a guy who finished second eventually, Joshua Carr, but otherwise it's been, you know, it's been good. We've been feeling comfortable both with the car and myself, so yeah, just trying to keep our head down and see how far we can pull it.
Well, I'm really impressed, and I'm going to be at Barber next weekend to come and see you. So we'll get another chat then, and maybe talk some Formula One as well. Linus, I'm pretty pleased for you. We Josh Carr is a good friend of the show, and we watched his endeavors last year in F4. But what's impressed me is that this is not a small. When Kirkwood and Dakota Dickerson won their championships, they were very dominant, but it was a very small field, not a non-competitive field, but it was a very small field. This has got a full field, and it's also got some of the renegades from the Road to Indy, and I think you're actually racing against some Indy Lights drivers as well, yeah?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and this was kind of last minute because, as we all know, with the Indy Lights Championship being cancelled, a lot of teams and drivers, almost half the field, I think, in Indy Lights came and joined our championship, which obviously was good for us because more cars on the grid and obviously a lot more competitive, so... Yeah, we were expecting a tough fight, and I mean, there's no slouches in this championship. You have to be on top of your game, you know, every lap, and you can't make a mistake. So yeah, I've been very happy about how we approach every weekend, because we come in with a clean sheet of paper, especially for me, because I've never been to any of the tracks that we're going to. So it's been a lot of fun to learn all of these tracks.
Well,
so are you learning them on a sim? Are you looking at onboards? Is your engineer an established engineer? I mean, because like you say, that's pretty, you've got Mid-Ohio and VIR, two of the toughest tracks in America, and you've just blitzed it.
Yeah, well, I would say a bit of a mix. I did a bit of sim work when I was back in Sweden, so it must have been roughly around the time that we spoke there in April. So I spent a bit of time in the sim trying to learn the tracks, but it's always so different when you actually come to the track. But I've been seeming to do a good job of it, and I mean, for at Mid-Ohio, for example, we only had two practice sessions of 20-25 minutes each, and then it was just into qualifying. So yeah, you just have to stick to your run plan and do as many laps as you can.
Linus, I want to ask you, you won the 2018 British F3 champ, the BRDC British F3 championship, which is, you know, pretty amazing. That's a great accolade. But compare that series to the FR America series you're racing in now. I mean, I know both F3 cars, but not identical.
No, you're right. I mean, it's very different in almost every way. You know, there's different tracks, different competition, different cards. You know, it's a different continent to start off with. So I guess the privilege that I had in British F3 was that I was with the same team that I was the year before, and I knew most of the tracks. Whilst coming into this series, everything was new. New country, new racing scene, new team, new tracks. So it was a lot more to learn. But then on the other hand, I mean, there's no lying. I got a lot of experience now racing in F3, you know, this being my third season in an F3 series. So, yeah, I still got to say I've got experience on my side when you look at some of the other guys' resume. But, you know, they've been doing the tracks and some of the guys were returning to the championship and with the Indy Lights guys as well. You know, there's tough competition out there.
Linus, so from your seat, what is different by the way you're being managed by the team? And for that matter, what's different in your daily life around the racing circuit and the business between the two?
Yeah, well, it's obviously it's very different because now I live here to begin with and in Indianapolis, actually, at least during on season. And then we'll see what happens after it. I will say the thing that I was doing a lot back in the UK was that I usually went into the factory or the workshop quite a lot. But obviously with Global's shop being based in Phoenix or in Seattle, it's a bit of a hassle to get in like a couple of days a week. So yeah, you do most of the work during the weekends and maybe even prep for the next weekend, the week prior. But otherwise, it's just about, you know, as always, keeping fit and trying to keep the sponsors happy back in Sweden.
It's interesting, Linus, that you moved to Indianapolis because we had Marcus Ericsson on the show a while back when he was actually in Formula One, and we said, oh, you know, you're going to Indy. And he goes, I said, where are you going to live? And he goes, well, I'm thinking of, we've got the same apartment complex as Rosenqvist. And, you know, yeah. Stefan Johansson's there. And so they've got this little Swedish community. Have you joined that community yet?
Funny that you mention it, because I'm actually living in Brownsburg, which is like 25 minutes from where both Marcus and Felix live. Okay. With another Swedish guy, so he's a drag racer called Johnny Lindberg. You might know of him. He's very successful. So I'm actually staying in his house right now, renting a room. But we actually had like a Swedish dinner. So it was me, Johnny, Felix, Marcus, and then Rasmus Lind. So we all met up and had dinner a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I've been introduced to the Swedish mafia around here.
The Swedish mafia, the Viking mafia of America.
hey, Linus, we need to take a quick break, commercial break. Can you stick with us through the break for just a second?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, you're listening to Speed City live from Austin. We'll be back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Austin's Talk 1370. This is Michael Zweiback, driver of the number 2 discount tire Porsche. Welcome to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are waiting to hear from Bobby Epstein here in a few minutes. But in the meantime, we have a young driver, Linus, on the phone, Linus Lundquist. And Linus, we were, before we went to the break, we were talking about the difference in the British F3 Championship and the American, the FR Series here in the United States. But you have some bigger aspirations, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there's no secret. When we went across the Atlantic and aimed for America, the target would to be turned up in IndyCar. And I mean, especially, we spoke about this briefly before, but with a bit of the Swedish invasion now, with Marcus and Felix doing so well in IndyCar, obviously it brought a lot of attention to the American market back in Sweden. So yeah, that would be the target for me, to turn up in one of those seats as well.
Yeah, had you, you know, being starting in Europe, had you thought about Formula One? I mean, I know everybody is into figure racing. You think about Formula One, but it's such a difficult path with the money involved and all that. Did you explore that path?
Yeah, I think, like you say, I mean, every racing driver, I think, starting up has the dream of F1. But you know, the higher you climb through the ladders, the more you realize how difficult it actually is, and you know, not just about what you perform on track, it's so much about the off track stuff, and not the least to talk about budget. So obviously we stayed in Europe for quite a while in trying to make it work, but then obviously this opportunity in America came along, and it was honestly too good to say no to. And yeah, I'm super happy about it now. Obviously we're only two weekends in this championship, but so far I'm loving the life in America, and I'm really enjoying the racing side of it as well.
Well, if you can keep this up, Linus, I mean, I don't want to sort of get ahead of myself because we're only two rounds in, but if you can stay consistent and keep the rest of the boys away from you, there's a heck of a prize from Honda. I believe that the winner of the F3 championship this year is going to get the backing of effectively a free Indy Lights drive with a Honda-connected team, which is, I mean, that's made in the shade for you, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I can't stress this enough, and can't say a big thank you to Honda enough for making this happen. I mean, it's a dream for any junior driver to have this. So it's amazing to get the opportunity. But obviously, it's only the winner that gets it, which means that we have to stay focused on this season. And like you say, at the end of the day, if we continue like this and win the championship, there's a big prize for it. So obviously, that is the target. And then we'll see, take it from there on. But super happy that Honda and HPD, that they even had this in mind and brought it forward. So yeah, it's been very cool.
Yeah, that's a big deal. But hey, I want to ask you about IMSA as well. Now, have you had plans? I mean, have you thought about going sports cars, or?
I wouldn't say that I've had the thought about, you know, changing careers, if you could say that, or leaving the single seater market to do sports car GTs or prototypes or anything like it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I got the experience from the Rolex 24 Hours in 2019, when I did that with PPM, and when I won the Sunoco Wieland Challenge. And that was very cool because it was my first ever IMSA and GT experience to even start off with. So super happy to do it, and I'll be more than happy to do something like it again. But to do it full time, my target is still IndyCar.
Hmm. Yeah,
it's things that we've seen are, you guys, IndyCar specifically, is pretty open to sharing or giving you the opportunity to go to the 24 hours, things of that nature. I love that about it, just to kind of mix it up a little bit and get you some seat time that early in the year. But as it goes forward, how much co-mingling is there between your series right now and up to the Indy cars, the primary seats? How much co-mingling is there amongst the teams?
So right now there's, I mean, like, for example, Andretti has joined our championship as well, with the guys that we're going to do in Delights. So I mean, they obviously have the connection up to IndyCar, but other than that, it's not that many. It's if it, in some team you have like a personal connection through an IndyCar team, but other than that, it's not much. Obviously, you have Honda that is obviously heavily involved in IndyCar and promoting this series. So hopefully there can be some connection there if you do well and if they want to promote you upwards. And I would assume that is the target from them. But other than that, it's, you know, just head down, do your best, and then hope that an opportunity arises. And obviously you're going to do your homework off track as well and trying to open as many doors as possible. But directly, there is not much.
And it's a clever move by Honda because they basically supply the engines for both F4, which is the series below F3, and for F3, and now this effective prize money. So they get any talent that's coming up through America, Honda gets first dibs at. And so if Linus continues on this trail, he's unlikely to go. Well, I say he's unlikely to go with the Chevrolet, but the point is, Honda would probably have first dibs on the talent that's coming through, and that's a great move on their part.
For sure. And then, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, one of the biggest reasons why we chose this championship was because of the prize and the scholarship that Honda put out there. So obviously it goes both ways, because I think it brings more drivers to the series as well when you have someone pushing for a prize like that.
Yeah. Hey, Linus, I want to ask you a Formula One question. We mentioned it a while ago, but, we've announced, first of all, COTA's been canceled, as you saw officially. No surprise to anyone with looking at the way the pandemic's hitting Texas and Austin right now. And you guys were going to bring that F3 series back to COTA again. That's actually one of my favorite things that happens during the F1 weekend. But I want to ask you about the three new races that were announced in Formula One. You being racing in Europe and stuff, have you been to or raced on any of those new circuits, Portimao or Imola or Nürburgring?
Unfortunately, I haven't been to any of those circuits. It was kind of funny because last season I raced on all of the active F1 racing circuits except Monaco. But with the three new ones, I haven't been, unfortunately. But I've driven them in like the old F1 games and even on the sim, etc. So I know that they will be proper tracks to go around.
Did you get the new 2020 F1 game? It just came out, I think, last week.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't. I haven't got a PlayStation or anything around here yet, so I need to get that sorted.
Okay, Sony, if you're listening.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen. What are your? I'm like I told you, I'm going to be there next weekend. But how are you getting ready for Barber, which is another great track and a technical track? How are you preparing?
Trying to obviously still stay in shape physically, so do that bit, and then obviously a bit of homework, looking at videos and data, whatever I can get my hands on. And obviously my team does a good work to keep me prepared, and obviously I've never been to the track, so they're trying to feed me information as much as possible. But then me and my teammate, who actually lives in Indy as well, we're going to drive to Alabama, so we have a bit of a road trip going. We actually drove to VER, Virginia, as well, so it was kind of fun, but it takes 8 hours or 7 hours now to Alabama, and it was a bit over 10 to VER, so yeah, we got to see a bit of the countryside as well.
No speeding.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that.
Is there a story there?
Last week's couple had a speeding incident.
Yeah,
come on, Linus. You can't leave us hanging like that. Why? Have you been speeding?
Nah, I'm just saying we made it through Ohio with absolutely no stops whatsoever. definitely not a siren behind us.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, well, Linus Lindquist, thank you for coming on the show again. We appreciate it. And really impressive start to your season so far in America's F3. So we appreciate it. And best of luck for the rest of the season.
What's your social for our audience? Get your social out.
Yeah, so my social is the same on Facebook and Instagram, which is Linus Lindquist. And that's Lindquist with Q-V-I-S-T. Like the hockey goalie, if you know him.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. And then my Twitter is L_Lundqvist, so it's basically the same. But yeah, check me out there, and obviously I'll update you guys on what's happening from my side if you want to follow that a bit closely. And then a massive thank you for you guys for having me on the show again. It's been great. So hope to see you soon again.
All right, thanks, Linus. Continue the good good driving there, buddy.
I will. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, guys, I want to talk. We've got a few more minutes in this segment. I just want to talk about Austin, and we get Bobby Epstein coming on here in a few minutes. And I want to talk about the way that this this pandemic has swept through this industry in Austin, because, you know, I was thinking about, you know, we had South by Southwest canceled. That was the first thing, right? And now we're here. Now we've obviously all the events at COTA have been canceled, including MotoGP and IndyCar that would have already happened. And if you start adding up the dollar amounts, I just built a quick little spreadsheet, and I added up, I used the numbers from Gray Hill Advisors. There's that company that South by Southwest uses to estimate their economic impact on the city. And COTA hired the same company back in 2014, so at least we have some baseline numbers there. But so COTA back in 2014, the F1 race was $507 million. All the other events combined was $390 million. South by Southwest, $356 million. UT football, now we don't know exactly what, you know, there's going to be some lesser crowds. And then all other UT sports, UT football, $467 million. All other UT sports, $261 million. All that totals up to $1.9 billion, almost $2 billion sucked out of what is arguably the one of the most dynamic and fastest growing economies in the world, that is Austin. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Austin, if the population trends continue, will be the 10th largest city in the United States next year. And there, I've forgotten which California city is moving the other direction, but Austin will move to be the 10th largest city. And the amount of the hospitality industry that hits Austin, it's huge, because if you guys recall, there was a study by J.D. Power that placed Austin as the second most popular destination to Las Vegas in the United States. But this has hit our economy in a massive way. And, I want to talk to Bobby about this exact thing.
Yeah.
You know, I find it amazing, having had the opportunity to travel all over the U.S. to the major places, L.A., Vegas, New York City, Atlanta, all those kind of places, Detroit, that hit your radar for prominence and you know, big destinations. It amazes me what's happened to Austin in the past 20 years. And how it's just exploded. I mean, you know, John, I know your family dates back further than mine here, and it's such a change.
Yeah, I'm a few generations from Austin, and guys, I remember as a kid wishing, you know, as a big Dallas Cowboys fan, and I was wishing that Austin could somehow have their own franchise. But I remember doing the math as a little kid, like 12-year-old kid, going, well, because I asked my dad, why can't we have one? He said, well, because we're not in the television market. We're not a large enough television market. And we were like the 35th largest city in the United States in, like, let's say 1980, for example. So we've gone from the 35th or whatever to the 10th largest city in the United States in that time. And you guys, look, we've been the fastest growing city in the United States in the last decade. I mean, if not all 10 of those years, most of those years, not just, you know, in that top 10, but the number one fastest growing city. It's just astounding. And, you know, Bobby and Circuit of the Americas, obviously hoping to take advantage of that. And here we are. You know, think about the bad luck that those guys have had, you know, with the epic rain that one year that wiped out that. And then we had rain another year. We had tornadoes out there, the flooding that happened. And, it's a tough business when you are relying on the weather for one, but this is just really insane. So, well, guys, we're going to take a break, and we're still hoping to hear from Bobby here in just a few minutes. So stick with us through the break and listen to Speed City live in Austin. Back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity.
Find the Brews on Tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the Tap Room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Everyone, this is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We just heard from Bobby Epstein. He's going to be joining us here in about 5 or 10 minutes. And when we went to break, we were talking about Austin and the impact. And it is truly astounding, the numbers that we're seeing, that how this industry and what COTA has brought to Austin. You know, we think about it, guys. You know, so many people knew Austin from things like either ACL on television or South by Southwest. And we used to say,
Austin talk, Denver, yeah. Baby.
And now, if you go globally, you know, Austin is known for Circuit of the Americas and Formula One. And the economic impact, I remember reading stories back when it happened. People were just astounded that we could have $500 million impact from this race. But then you talked to some of the businesses and you knew that it was happening, and $507 million impact that's not happening this year. I mean, it's truly astounding. And it's just, you know, everything that happens with the pandemic this year is just, you know, it's just horrific, but it's just hitting us really close to home.
It really is. It's just amazing what's happening. You know, there's still some businesses doing some great things and changing, but every walk of life that I deal with around, you know, just daily life is impacted in some way, you know, and it's really tough. Austin has faced a lot of criticism for how things are handled. Even Texas has, and we're seeing the fallout. You know, as much as I want Formula One here, I can't blame them for not coming.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for Bobby because it's, you know, it's out of his control as well. I mean, it's like, maybe we'll ask it him, but the only question I have is, how can you run the Indy 500 with 25% crowd and not do that on 1,500 acres in Elroy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, well, hey. You know, and I think of that, the immediate thing I think of is all the international travelers. First of all, would they even come? You know, would they come to the United States right now with the way the pandemic is? Yeah, I just can't imagine that they would.
Listen, obviously, we'll focus on Bobby, but I want to, if Bobby's after we spoke with Bobby, I want to bring up the subject that Brazil is another one affected by this, and the promoter from Interlagos is really not happy about getting a letter from Liberty saying no event. Likewise, Canada don't have the COVID that we have here in America, and Mexico obviously does, but at the same time, it's not just COTA that's affected by this. It's all of the American races, and that's not good for Liberty either, because that's all of our time zone, you know, good races.
Yep. All right.
It'll be interesting to hear from a business aspect what else is going on.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm very excited because our next guest has joined us. We want to welcome to the show the chairman of Circuit of the Americas, Bobby Epstein. Bobby, welcome back to Speed City.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And condolences, because we know that none of us were surprised by this announcement, but it still just got to be a gut punch for you guys.
Yeah, it's not. It was no surprise. And in fact, when I saw Chase, I actually saw him in February, and he was talking about the Chinese Grand Prix being potentially postponed at that time, and we talked about what happens if it spreads, and could this be a tough year all around? And sure enough, you know, that's obviously what happened. But we kind of knew a couple months ago this was pretty likely.
Well, Bobby, I wondered, we were just talking about before you came on about the Indy 500, for example, and we were speculating that, you know, could you do it with a smaller crowd? But we were just talking about, would anybody come from overseas? You know, we have so many visitors from overseas. I mean, I'm assuming that was part of the conversation.
Well, a big part of it is, the economics are certainly one of them, not just on our side, but you're spending, you know, more than $5 million to bring the freight over just to bring the show. And then you've got people from all over the world that you've got to keep a schedule, right? If you have another race a week or two later, and if there's an outbreak, you certainly can't afford to have people get stuck, equipment get stuck because of customs. The logistics behind it are what make it really impossible from the behind the scenes and the sheer organization of it. The risk we didn't want to run into is what happened in Australia, which was the first race that attempted to happen. They got called off sort of the day of or the day before the race, and you'd already spent many millions of dollars preparing the venue for the event, and the people are there and they're ready to go, and then all of a sudden it's canceled. So that's rough.
Yeah, Bobby, that reminds me of South by Southwest. I remember, because that was right when the pandemic was really heating up here in the United States. And when that announcement came, I was just flabbergasted. And I remember, I know Hugh Forrest, who's one of the top guys over there. He talked about a gut punch. They had spent so much money because it was literally starting the next week. So it's exactly what you're talking about. But speaking of South by Southwest, I know they immediately had to lay off a ton of staff, and I'm assuming you guys have had to do the same thing out there.
Well, yeah, I don't want to lessen the South by Southwest incident, but you know, we had MotoGP right behind that,
yeah,
and the people weren't in town for it yet, but we'd already spent millions setting up. You know, we bring in a lot of temporary grandstands, and you put deposits down on a lot of temporary buildings and structures that you'll need for it. And that getting canceled, better that it got canceled before people were already in town in their hotels. But it's been a kind of a tough blow after blow on from the way this year has kind of come together. But unfortunately, what these events really mean are jobs. They mean jobs to people. We have about 250 full-time employees in a typical year. And that's keeping things going, everything from daily track rentals to the races themselves, whether it's MotoGP or F1 or the many things in between. But then you've got concerts and you've got games going on at the stadium. And so you've got a lot of people there, and you've got a nice full cafeteria every weekday. I mean, we miss those things.
Many silver linings on this, I don't think. But obviously this year is terrible. But looking ahead, just Formula One, forget sort of MotoGP and Indy because they're separate. But we've just had the announcement of three new races. Does this put you maybe in a better negotiating position with Liberty for, you know, for future contracts, given that we're going to have to miss this race, but you'll want to come back strong next year?
Sure, I'll take that view, Jonathan. We'll look at it as an opportunity. Yeah, I think we're in a good position just from the standpoint of the way the event's built and grown in the way it's become sort of a tradition for a lot of people. And it really has some staying power. And I love how the community's gotten behind it. At first, there was a lot of hesitance. And now I think it's pretty well embraced by the city. And that helps add to the event.
Hey, Bobby,
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to throw in a thank you from Lewis in Monterey, Mexico, listening. It says, I'm part of the people that come up. Great event, great environment, et cetera. And thank you. Super cool is his comment. Well, thanks, Lewis.
I love it. Thanks, Lewis. No, that's what's so great. You have people that are coming and making it part of, it's part of what it makes it great is that people come in from all over and they come back. And we're lucky to have that, and we're fortunate. But the event itself, like many other great events, is made better by the people that come to it. And we're in a good spot from that standpoint, I think, and that people have embraced it. And so we're lucky and we're grateful to have that.
Mm. Hey, Bobby, also, you guys did a great thing early this year. It was hugely successful right in the middle of when the pandemic, really, when it was the heart of it, when everybody was locked down. You guys had the food drive, pun intended.
Yeah,
that was really, really cool. I don't know how many people showed up, but it was like 100,000 or more meals that were donated from that drive.
It's fantastic. I think we got to 700,000 meals.
Wow.
And it shows the power of the circuit itself and how the local community has taken to it, and the fact that we opened it up so anybody could come drive their car in it. They weren't going very fast. We had a nice traffic jam, and that just made it all the more fun. But to see the moms and the kids and the dogs and everybody hanging out the windows of the cars, it was a good chance for people to get out and stay socially distant, and it just worked out.
You know, Bobby, that event particularly, I met some folks right after that event that went out and took part in it. And it was their first time to really be out there at COTA and have access to the track, that is. And they were amazed by it. They have, I've since crossed the path with this couple a few times. And they acknowledge, I'm not a motorsports fan, but that place is amazing. They had only been to the concert venues. And when I hear somebody that has next to no interest come out and recognize and appreciate what's done, we're winning people over. We're doing our best part, and you've given us a place to bring them to. So I love that there was that much of a turnaround.
Yeah, it's a special thing. And you see that, and you see people have never been a part of it and really had no idea it's in many cases that it's even there, what it is, and now they're interested.
Hey, Bobby, I want to ask you about I saw somewhere in the press, you'd mentioned you guys had big sales leading up. Looked like it was going to be a banner year for the Formula One event. And you had your ticket sales are up like 250%.
Well, the headline said ticket sales. We actually never put the tickets on sale. What we had and what they were deposits for tickets. And we often take deposits for even a pre-sale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go back to year one where the PSL, the C licenses went on sale, and they went crazy before we ever put tickets on sale. And this is the closest thing we have to that. And we had people putting down deposits. We were up almost 300%, actually, in terms of people that said, I want to get my seats next year. I don't want to take a chance on missing out. And so we certainly were excited about what the numbers were going to be for this year.
Bobby, obviously, we've got a lot of people who tune into us because they want to know what's going on at COTA. And obviously, there's not been a lot positive. But I'm going to keep with my positive vein and say, what do you think is the next possibility of anything major? I know you can't control a pandemic, but, I mean, you've been innovative with soccer and rugby and everything else. What are you hoping now to do to help the situation and alleviate the situation you're in?
Well, I think this is so much more about health and wellness and safety than it is about sport. And so we've got to just hope as a country that the pandemic passes in terms of things we can do and ways to relate to the community. We found out with that food drive that people can safely distance and stay in their cars. And so we're going to try and do a holiday light show that's going to be very unique. It's a drive-through experience that we'll try and do something just to bring people out and, again, keep them and remind them that we're out there and that we want to be a part of the community and a part of the city. And beyond that, we'll just get our schedule ready for next spring and hope that we can give it a run and pack in more things next year than we've ever had in the past. And we've got, and I say that from both the concert standpoint, but also, and most importantly, from the racing standpoint, I think we'll see more events than we've ever done before.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned one topic I was curious about, and I've already been asked about it. So I'll ask one question and then another one. Who was the talent for this year's concerts that we didn't get to see, if we get to know that yet?
Okay. It was awesome. But we'll hope we do it next year. I won't say.
Right. Okay.
Good enough. Now the other one really.
We're working to see if we can. Yeah, that's one of the things that comes up after this week is you're seeing what can we shift next year and can you confirm? And so hopefully contracts will just shift forward 1 year.
There you go.
English guys, the Stones, are available. They were supposed to be there in May.
That's right.
They're going to come back.
And you know Keith Richards will still be alive. Hey, Bobby, one question that came up, I saw some conversations around the F1 calendar, just in general, starting with 2021, and the ideas that the sequence of races might be changing, and that might even impact us here in Austin, whether we get paired with a different race than we do Mexico, instead of having sequential weekends of U.S. and Mexico, that we could get paired with Brazil or Canada to break up the season instead of having Canada at the early part of the season and then they cross the pond and then come back. What are your thoughts on that? And have you heard any discussions like that?
Nothing firm. I mean, I think there's been more speculation than anything. We like our slot. We like the end of October, beginning of November. Actually, I like the end of October even better than the beginning of November. But I think we like that. I think that's an important place for us on the calendar. And I think it's important that an event, once it's established, gets to have a consistent time throughout the year and that people can put it on their calendar and come to it and look forward to it. So I don't see us changing.
All right.
All right, Bobby, I got an idea for you. Speed City's drive-in movie at the Circuit of the Americas.
I love it.
What do you think?
That's awesome. I haven't been given that idea in more than 20 years. Yeah, I think it's been 20 hours since Wild Bubba wrote me and said, Wyman Gillen said, how about a drive-in?
I'm on the cutting edge if I'm with Wild Bubba.
Yeah, well, it's nothing like a hot Texas summer night to want to sit outside your car and watch a movie.
Well, Bobby Epstein, thank you very much for coming on. You know, we wish you guys the best of luck out there. I know that we're all in this together, but I know it's particularly hit hard for you guys, and we're thinking about you all the time. And tell everybody out there we're thinking about them and wish them luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. Take care.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more MotoGP and a little more Formula One, and we'll be back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers.
Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We have been so much Formula One, Formula One, Formula One, now that we're doing the pre and post shows. Go to our website, check out how to listen to that. But I've been missing MotoGP, and I got to watch the entire race today. And it was a great race, man. I love MotoGP, and I forget because we've been so focused.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. And, hey, I got to give a shout-out. Speaking of motorcycle crowd, world champion Steve Martin from Australia tuning in. Hey, buddy.
He could have won today's race. Steve, get those leathers back on, man. You could – honestly, these kids today – I mean,
there was a 41-year-old on podium.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, Steve's probably what? I don't know. A couple of years older than that. He's still got it in him.
He could at least be midfield. Come on.
And his wife's a nurse. She can bring oxygen.
Tape him back together. Come on. Come on, Steve. Great to hear from you, Steve. Hey, there's another question. That's a good comment. Jonathan, you're kind of sitting at the inside table of this one. Tony Perla, SVRA, his partnership with SCCA Pro.
Yeah.
What is your lookout on that? Is it good? Is it not? I mean,
oh, no, it's brilliant. SVRA. I think it's fantastic because, just so you know, Tony Perla has bought the commercial rights to both F3 and F4 that will go along with Trans Am and SVRA. And then, as you know, I commentate on both SVRA and Trans Am. And I hope to be part of, obviously, what's going on with F3 and F4. I'm currently involved in it already. I'll be at the next race doing the social media for the series. So I'm really excited because what it means for Tony Perla is that he can have 500 vintage cars all the way down, you know, with 65-year-olds and you know, fantastic setup there for all that. Then you've got Trans Am in the middle, which is America's muscle cars. And then at the bottom end, you've got the up-and-coming future stars. I mean, a good example, Kent Vaccaro is racing in Formula 3 and Trans Am at the moment. So it works all the way around. And as a spectacle for the weekend, fantastic. I mean, you know, SVRA comes to COTA in November. Well, can you imagine being able to see SVRA, Trans Am, and Linus Lundqvist all in the same weekend? That's awesome.
Man, Tony's building quite the empire, isn't he? That's awesome.
I got a lot of respect for that man. I know he's my boss, so I'm going to say that. But no, I really do. I like his style, and I like what he's built up and how he's doing it. We're currently on both the we're live streaming on an app with Greenlight Television, and we've got drones and onboards. It's really cutting edge, which is unheard of. So I'm really excited to be part of that. So that's a great question that somebody's asked. And all I can say is stay tuned because this is going to be a racing series that will rival any other in America right now.
Yeah, those questions are coming in on Facebook, by the way. And by the way, I know we're on the radio, but you also can watch our show on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all our other stuff. So there you go. What do you have, Les?
Yeah, with what he's done with SVRA, I think that's phenomenal. And I'm hoping it just compounds the benefit of everything that he's done there. It's really something. Here's some more news. Speaking of COTA, one of our corner marshals, one of the leaders there, said NASA had a successful weekend, albeit not giant. Downside, roster was around 130 cars. Upside, there are 130 drivers that want out there. So definitely doing well. Things are keeping going. Obviously, COTA has to streamline all their activities and things there. Really a great opportunity there.
All right. Well, you've taken us off track. I was going MotoGP, yeah. And he got distracted by Facebook. But MotoGP, man, what a great race, Jonathan. I know you just got to watch it late in the day like me.
Yeah, yeah. And when I heard that the old man was back. And
yes.
I mean, basically last weekend, because they've had back-to-back races at Jerez, and Rossi didn't finish the race. Yamaha have got quite a problem somewhere with their bikes just sort of suddenly kind of seizing up, or at least taking over and kind of stopping the bike so that you don't crash on it. And it happened to Rossi last week, and everybody went, oh, he's pulling out, he can't handle the heat, he's a spent force. And he comes straight back this weekend and bangs it into third place, almost second.
Yeah, it was the second to the last lap. Yeah,
but really, really got the Yamaha hiccup today in his shutdown.
Yeah, I know, there's definitely something wrong there. And the commentators were saying, you know, that they've got, because it's a smaller season, they've got less engines at Yamaha to deal with. And they've already sent one back already. And clearly there's something going on that's not right. So impressed with Rossi. I mean, the guy who wins the race is twice his age. He's 21 and Rossi's 41. Come on.
That was awesome. Hey, you realize this is the first time that Rossi's been on the podium since here in Austin. What was that, you know, 14 months ago or whatever?
And you know what? It's his 199th podium. Come on!
That is...
Oh, no. Can you imagine that? Okay, come on, Brainiac from the moto world. You commentated many of his races. How many years for Valentino Rossi?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's a good... I think it's something like 27.
25th season.
I first commentated on him, and I met him, when he was doing 125s at Eastern Creek. I bet you Steve Martin was there that day. And he had a Superman, I think I've told this story before, but he had a Superman t-shirt, and somebody said, hey, you want to meet this new kid? You know, because I was looking at all the runners and riders. I was working in Asia, and you never know, you can't keep up with all of them. So I was looking for the sort of who's the big hope coming out of 125s, and somebody pointed me to this curly haired kid with a Superman t-shirt on. So I thought, he goes, yeah, it's Graziano's kid. And I didn't know who Graziano was, but his father raced, of course. So I walked over and I said, so you're a Superman? He goes, no, stupido. And I walked away going, that guy's got something.
I like him. I like this young guy. Hey, speaking of young guys, what about Fabio Quartararo, man? I mean, he's won the first two races of the season, right? So it's his second victory in a row. He's the second youngest rider ever to win back-to-back in the premier class. Of course, Marc Marquez holding that record. And, you know, speaking of Marquez, here we are talking about MotoGP, and we're two races in. He doesn't have a point. So this is going to be interesting season.
I was saying before the show to Les, I think this could be a really interesting season. Rossi's in the mix now. He's in sixth. He's only a couple of points off fifth and fourth. You've got Dovi and Ducati and Miller. You've got Bagnaia, you've got Vignale, you've got all these guys who can win races. So I think it's actually going to be a really, really good season. And of course, best rider in the world is 60 points or 50 points away out of the starting gate. So he's going to have to score big in Bruno to get back in contention.
I think, you know, I love that, you know, Rossi's got 9 championships there. I want to see that 10th in my lifetime. And, you know, I think he's got a couple of things. Obviously, Marquez was injured. You know, that's going to play in his favor. Shorter season. He's 41 years old. This very likely could be a benefit to him to have fewer races in this season, a little more recovery, not as much breakdown of himself.
He's amazing. I mean, that heat today, the guy who won the race was more exhausted than he was.
Yeah, was it 150-degree track temperature or something?
Yeah. Ridiculous like that, but yeah, it was really hot. They were really struggling. I mean, you saw the attrition rate. I mean, half the field didn't finish.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, guys, so we are just about out of time, but I wanted to, first I want to thank our guest for coming on, Linus Lundquist. And yeah, follow this young F3 driver, man. So wait, real quick, Jonathan, he won. He's only, they're only 2 weeks, 2 weeks in. Are they doing two races per weekend? Is that why he's won four?
They did two at Mid-Ohio and three at VIR. He's won the lot.
Okay, that's what it is. But anyway, I want to tell everybody, you know, you're used to hearing us here Sunday night. Don't forget, on Sunday mornings during Formula One season, we do the pre and post show nationally. So go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out. And of course, those will be on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that. And so next Sunday, we'll be back on the air at 7 a.m. And check us out and get ready for Formula One again, because we got a triple header coming up next. Oh my gosh, 7 a.m. for three weekends in a row. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Bobby and Linus. We'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.